Tonight, we will pick up with verse 24, Proverbs 15, verse 24. The Bible says this, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you instruct us, guide us, and help us tonight. And Father, we thank you for your glorious salvation in the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray and ask this. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay, Proverbs 15, verse 24, the Bible says this, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." So, brethren, this verse shows us tonight, where this verse puts one at tonight is here on the earth, with heaven above you and hell beneath you. Alright? I mean, Solomon is speaking from earth and talking to people on earth. And he says the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Now, you're on the earth. Above you is heaven. Say, where's heaven? Up. It's so simple a little child can get it. Ask a young one, where's heaven at? Up there. And they got it right. Well, not but off. I mean, space is whatever. Up. You got it right. In fact, the Bible says it's the north. God's position is there in the north. In fact, when the devil talks about the devil rebelling, he said, he's going to sit upon the sides of the north. Above the heights of the clouds, the sides of the north. The Bible says promotion cometh not from the east, west, or south, but from the Lord. The one area that left out of the north, signifying that God and the north are together there. The sides of the north. I mean, God has made it so, if you want to get to heaven, as far as knowing the direction, a compass will tell you, north. Points north. And the Bible speaks as far as position of the Lord being north and above. You say, well, how far out there? I have no idea. Nobody you know knows neither. And I'll tell you something, brethren, what's out there in space, they really don't know completely how all that thing works anyway. Count on it. They don't. Your Bible's true. Just rest on it and trust it and depend on it. Heaven's above. Where's hell? Beneath you. The child can get it. Where's hell? Down there. That's exactly right. Down there. You talking about Brother Austin? Yeah, that's right, Brother Austin. Because in the earth, they say it's real bad. The sign says it's real hot. Well, I don't really care what sign says. Your Bible tells you that hell's there. And brother, it's not just, it's a place that's got, it's a place that has, brethren, it's a place of torment, yes. But there's also there, evidently, it's a cavernous type area. The Bible speaks of the sides of the pit. The sides of the pit. There's a king over the bottomless pit. The Bible speaks about those creatures coming out of it. So there's all kind of stuff going on under your feet. And that's what's going to blow people's mind in the tribulation. Because some of that stuff under your feet is going to come out. And folks just aren't going to be able to handle it. But anyway, be that as it may, the Bible says the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. You're on earth, above you is heaven, below you is hell. The Bible says the way of life is above. It isn't found on this earth. Now, brethren, taken in the context of Old Testament, that would mean the way of life is above, meaning God's above, and he's given us his word to know how to know him and how to escape destruction in this life. All right, so the way of life is above to the wise. So it's found with God and his word. Okay, but you know what, brethren? Now, this side of the cross, it's even better than that. The way of life, listen, it's even more literal than what you realize. When the Bible says the way of life is above to the wise, you know the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me," he said. He's the way, right? The Lord Jesus Christ is the way of life. And you know what? He is above now. He left heaven, came to this earth, was virgin born, lived for 33 and some years from what we can tell in our Bibles, went to that cross, was crucified, poured his blood out, rose again the third day, is seated there in the Father's right hand. He is above now. So brethren, quite literally, when your Bible says the way of life is above to the wise, oh my, we see a wonderful fulfillment of that in Christ Jesus. that side of the cross, the other side of the cross, you can look at it as being God and His Word, you know, to direct and guide a man into the things of God, the way of life is above. Oh, but more specifically, the fulfillment of that is in Christ Jesus. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He is now above. And so, quite literally, this is fulfilled in Christ, where we read, the way of life is above to the wise. And see, Brother McKeer, it takes a wise man is the one that will accept Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
The man that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ is rejecting wisdom. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 that Christ Jesus made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. He's made wisdom unto us. Take your Bible. Go to Colossians 3 just a minute. Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse number 1. Colossians 3 and verse number 1. Colossians 3 verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things on high above, not on things on the earth. So we just read our text tonight told us that the way of life is above to the wise. What do we just read here? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He is that way of life. Jesus said, I am the way. Do you understand that is the most arrogant statement that could ever be made unless it's true? If it's true, then listen, He is the one with whom you have to do, and you better do business with Him now. Because the other side of the grave, it'll be too late. But brother, see, if that wasn't true, what an arrogant thing. Can you imagine? That's why people hate the gospel in truth. Because of the sheer narrowness of it and exclusiveness of it. The gospel in truth is that there is only one way to heaven, and there is no other. None. The Bible says there's only by one person, one man, that you can get to God the Father, and that's through the God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And that's pretty exclusive. See, the world could deal with you if you say, well, you know, I think the Buddhists got their way too. And really, you know, the world could deal with you if you would just say, you know, Christ is my way, but I respect you if you find God your way. I respect you for that. But the world could deal with you. But it's so bad, the devil wants you to say that. He wants you to say that. He just wants you to go ahead and say, I can respect your views and I believe if you've got your way, I've got my way. But see, brethren, when you stand and say, no, it's not the way of the Sharia, the Islamic law. It is not the way of the noble path, of the Eightfold Path of Confucius. It's not the Hindu way. It's not the way of Buddhism. It's not. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood He shed for our sins, the price He paid. That's the only way to God the Father is through God the Son. When you say that and say there's no other way, the world says, how dare you be that narrow-minded and that arrogant? You're telling me. So here's what they want to do. They want to get you and say, so you're telling me you really believe there's only one way. And see, when you're alone by yourself and the wagons are circled around you and the world says, you don't believe that. Let me get you straight now. So you're saying that that all those Jews go to hell then? You know what you've got to do? You've got to stand your ground and say, yes, my friend, I'm afraid that they do. Yes, indeed. According to the Word of God, if they don't receive their Messiah, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, yes, they die and go to hell. See, what they want to do is they want to make you feel so stupid for standing that way and feeling that way. They want to make you feel so stupid. Listen, brother, I was standing when I was at Brother Peter's wedding. There was a guy there that said he got saved not too long ago, and he was a Jew, but he was having a real hard time. He said, my mom, you know, he said his mom was a Jew. I think. He said, you know, he said, what about? He said, is she? And I thought, man, You know, there's a part of me. It's like you feel demons saying, you go tell that boy's mom's burning in hell. You go tell that boy's mom's burning in hell. And but while I said, I called him his first name and said, there's no other way. If she didn't accept Jesus Christ as her Savior, there's no hope and she's in hell. And praise God, he just kind of got teared up, but he said, that's true. I know it's true. You know, but I mean, so many times, you know, a person just don't want to have to come to grips with the fact that a loved one, a relative, someone we care about, you know, it's like, come around, you mean my grandpa's in hell? My grandpa's a good man. He's better than anybody ever know. You tell my grandpa's in hell? And you say, I'm sure he was good to you. But friend, the Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Without Christ Jesus, there's no other place he can be. You take your belief, man. I mean, none of your stuff. And what the devil will say, see, is that how you win people? You're running them off. Look how you are. No, you're not running them off. Not if you tell the truth with the right attitude. If you get arrogant, the Bible says, be ready to always every man to ask you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Make sure your attitude's right. But then tell the truth. And brethren, they're going to come on you and you can just about feel the demons of hell come, or the devils of hell come around you saying, look at that. You make that person feel bad. Look at that. You make them feel bad. You just told them their daddy's in hell. Look at who you say their dad's in hell. And you're like, you know, and you know that you weren't being judgmental. You just said if they didn't accept Christ, if they weren't born again, they're in hell. And there's no two ways about it. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. See, if you'll look here, let me explain what happened, what goes on here. If you were put in that position and you tell the truth, the person is liable to leave you, I mean, spitting nails, maybe spitting on you, mad, cussing you out. And boys, you're walking away, the devil's going, look at you. Boy, look at them. They'll hate you. This is the way to win them. But you don't know that maybe in their car, it's all coming home to them. And they're going, I know it's true. It is true. Who knows? They may be in that car getting saved that very moment. They may maybe get saved, but the devil's trying to get you. See? To intimidate you, to get you to stop, and to get you all tore up, and get you all... Hey, brother, somebody comes to you and says, wait a minute now, if I read you right, you're saying that Mother Teresa is in hell? What Mother Teresa have done wrong? And you, that's what you have to say, but friend, the Bible says, for all have sinned. But you don't approach that thing by saying, hey, that wicked old witch! She was, hold on. That woman did a lot of good, just wasn't good enough to get to heaven by.
Amen.
Hey, brethren, am I going to deny that a woman that goes around the street people and the leper and the sick people like she did? Hey, come on, that was good stuff. But it's not good enough to get to heaven by. But it's not that some people don't do good things. It's that their own righteousness can't merit heaven. So don't approach it all like, oh, she's probably a hypocrite. But you're judging. You know what I mean? Who knows you? But the problem is her belief about eternity and salvation. That's the problem. It's not that her works weren't good in a sense. They just weren't good enough to merit heaven. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's what the Bible says. And brother, look here. But listen, if we don't stand and say that, we'll tell the truth. We're doing damage to men's souls. All right, now, so brethren, look here, but hey, that's pretty exclusive, you know. I mean, it really is. Now, brethren, listen. Our text tonight said that the way of life is above to the wise. You see, Christ is not in the grave. He is not on the cross. Well, the Roman Catholic Church always likes to place him. Crucifix on the cross. So he's not there. He is risen and seated at the Father's right hand, just like we read. Let's read another place. Go to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by himself. Nobody helped him. He didn't need no help. And nobody else could have done it. By himself purged our sins. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Glory to God. That speaks volumes that he sat down. Those, what do you mean? You don't sit down until the job's done. You ever heard that? Don't you sit down until the job's done. Ain't no sitting down right here until the job's done. Brethren, when he went back and ascended, listen, he sat down. Guess what that implies? Job done. Complete. Finished. Nothing needs to be done. The atonement's been made. The blood's been shed. Applied. It's all took care of. It's finished. Done. Sit down. Everything's complete. Next move is man's. God's made His move. God's made His move in Christ. Next move's up to man. Done. Seated. Finished. Brother, look here. When you rest in Christ, you rest in the finished work of salvation. And that's what the Lord wants this world to do. give up their works and give up their fruit stand. It really is. Isn't it? That's what the religion of Cain is, fruit stand religion. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. You know, his own effort, his own works, his own, you know, give that up. And trust what God has done for you and I in Christ. All right, now, brethren, so our text tonight, when our text tonight says, the way of life is above to the wise, that's showing us that the way of life is not found on the earth or anyone on this earth. Not of that. The way of life is not found on this earth. Well, Brother Doss, we tell somebody how to get saved. Yeah, but you're telling them about someone who is on high. You're telling them to believe on someone that died, was buried, crucified, and rose again the third day and is seated on high. He's above now. He's not in the grave. He's not on this earth. He's there. All right? The way of life is not on this earth. It's not in anyone on this earth. It's in a risen, living, risen Savior. It's in Christ Jesus Himself. And notice what our text then says, the way of life is above to the wise that he may depart from hell beneath. Again, hell below you. See, brother, you know what? You know what? Seriously, brother. Isn't it amazing? Look at our picture, if you will. Picture, if you will, tonight. Get this picture of heaven, hell, and here's man on earth suspended between the two. And brother, that is mankind. Did you know that? We're here on this earth, as it were, between the two. Suspended, as it were, between the two, with a decision to make. It's either accept Christ and gain heaven, or reject Him and go your own way and go to hell. I mean, here you are, between heaven and hell. With Christ, the Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. You know why an airplane can fly? It's got power to overcome a natural force that brings it, holds it down. It's got power to overcome a natural force that keeps it down. You know why you'll go to heaven someday if you accept Christ? Because you know you now have power to overcome sin, death, hell, and the grave, and you'll go up. Without Him, hey, real simple illustration. Without Christ, you die. There you go. You go down. A child can get it. When I was a kid, I knew that. Get saved, go up to heaven. Don't get saved, go down to hell. And you'll never improve on that. You never improve on that. Because it's true. And you just go straight down. Just without power to go up. Death ain't got no power to go up. Just go straight down. The Bible says that they neither received Him, but then give Him power to become the sons of God, even then to believe on His name. The word depart, the Bible says that He may depart from hell beneath. The word depart in the dictionary means to go from, to leave. That's interesting. Get this. The way of life is above to the wise that he may depart from hell beneath. Wait a minute. Surely the King James has that worded wrong. Because that don't make no sense. To depart means to go from, to leave. And Brother Doss, I'm not in hell yet. If you're not saved, you're as good as there. Did you realize that? Listen, your Bible's more important than what you realize. You see, literally, brethren, you don't know. But if you're here and you're not saved, or anybody listening to this tape and you're not saved, you don't know what you're gambling on the game you're playing. You are on borrowed time. Amen. Hey, listen, realize, I said, you are just as much as in good as in hell. I mean, the Bible says that he may depart from hell beneath. Depart means to go from, to leave. I know somebody says, but I'm not in hell yet. Go to John 3. Let's look at something. Go to John 3. You are, listen, you're already damned. Man, you are already damned. You need rescuing. It ain't a matter of you. It ain't a matter of you being bad and you're bad. You are condemned. You're damned. You're as good as in hell without Christ. John 3, verse 17 says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him," not through Buddha, not through Confucius, not through Him, not through Baal, "through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Glory to God. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? You are not condemned. Yes. Praise God. Have you believed on Christ? Then you are not condemned. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But I'm talking about a belief, not just a belief of the mere facts, but a belief of a trust from the heart, a dependency upon Christ for your salvation. If you've not believed on Him, you're already condemned. Look at verse number 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Most men go to hell because most men love their sin, and most men love darkness because they don't want to face their evil deeds. Let me tell you something. You got saved because you were willing to sit still, let the Holy Ghost expose you and expose your sin, and you didn't run like a cockroach from the light. You said, "God, guilty. My only hope is in Christ. And then He paid for my sin. That's my only hope. I ain't got a prayer, God, without Your Son." And you got saved. And you stood there and you took it. But see, I'm going to tell you something. Most of the world scurries away, makes excuses, does this, does that, and won't sit still and take it and let themselves be exposed. Verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." You know something, brethren, look here. Why hate light? The light ain't bad, it's just exposing what's there. You know, don't get mad at the light, man. It just exposes what's there. That's the reason, look here, brother. Don't get mad if somebody tells you the truth. Truth is the flashlight of the light. It's just exposing what's there. Get mad at yourself. All right, and say, "God, I need help, and Lord, I need forgiveness, and I need cleansing the blood of Jesus, and I need things right." And, you know, don't get mad at the truth. Don't get mad at the message or the messenger. Get mad at ourselves and our sin. Verse 21, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God." Brother, I've come to a place that I realized I was sinning against God. You know what I'm saying? I went my own way. I was thumbing my nose, essentially, as it was toward God, and going my own way. No matter how religious I was going my own way and do what I wanted. Yes, sir. And I had to come to grips with that. You know what I'm saying? Rather than once you're saved, the devil wants to keep you from coming to the Lord. He wants to get you, look what you did, you're ashamed. Come boldly, brethren. Come boldly. His blood's been shed for your sins. Come boldly, get cleansing, get it took care of, get it out of the way. But come. Come. Better than so many folks will sit in a church pew and yet not right with God, because they don't want to face God with what they've done. And they'll stay out of fellowship with the Lord. Man, just come clean and get it right. Just like you come when you got saved, if there's something not right, come clean and get it right and just fess up. Make no excuses. Let the blood of Jesus cover it and get it washed clean and get strength and help to go forward on. But come on to the light, man. To keep that fellowship once you are saved. Don't let the devil keep you there in those dark regions. And you can put on an outward show, but yet be so miserable because things aren't right. Listen, if you're not saved, if you're not saved, you are a child of hell, not a child of God, until you get born again. You know, The Comforter's come. That I, a child of hell, should in his bed. I mean, what a blessing. The person who wrote that song understood that I, a child of hell. And that is what we are until we get saved. A child of hell. You get born again, you become a child of God. Now, That's the main thing I want to mention tonight. You know, is that the way of life is above in Christ Jesus to the wise, that He made apart from hell beneath. Because if you're not saved, you're just as good as in hell. But I want to look at it also just a minute here concerning the fellowship and the walk of the believer. You see, brethren, once you are saved, the way of life is still above, so that you may depart from this hellish world. I'll say it again. Once you're saved, listen, once you're saved, glory to God, once you're saved, you are secure and you're there. You are. I mean, thank God, rest on that, rest in that. The devil don't want you to rest in that. But rest in that, rest on that. Alright? But even though you're saved, the way of life is still above, and I'll prove it to you in a minute, so that you can depart from the hellishness of this world that wants to consume you and mess you up in your flesh. Go back to Colossians chapter 3 a minute. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And look at verse 1. I really like Colossians 3 verse 1. I really do. Look what it says. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Isn't that something? Paul is writing to saved people. And he said, now look, if ye then be risen. In other words, if you're saved. But notice how he words it. If ye then be risen with Christ. Isn't that something? Now see, if you're not risen with Christ, you're not saved. But but notice how he words it. If ye then be risen with Christ. Isn't that something? Brethren, that part of me born of God is already resurrected. I'm waiting a new body. But there's a part of me, man, that's born of God, that is redeemed, united with Christ. Not the flesh. I got the same old flesh I had before I got saved. Same, you know, I mean, I got saved. I was new on the inside, but that same person looking at me in the mirror on the outside. All right, someday we'll get a new body. But there's a part of me that is resurrected. I am in Christ. He's in me. I can't go to hell. I've been to hell in Christ. Acts 2 says He went there for us. He did. No Hades mess. None of that junk. Hell. He went there for us. Got up, rose again the third day. Brother, I've done died. I've done been punished, died, went to hell, got up, and I am on the Father's right hand. What are you talking about? I am all that in Christ. Brother, if I'm in Him and He's in me, those things have to be true. It's not just nice little flowery words and sayings. If I'm in Him and He's in me, guess where? I'm there. I'm there. All right, now listen. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. What was our text tonight? The way of life is above to the wise. Now, if you're risen with Christ, if you're saved, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, hold on. I didn't say you're supposed to love your husband and your wife and your children and others and some, the pretty things of this life and nice things and good and righteous and holy and things like that, of course. But brother, listen, your affection. Listen, brother, your primary, your affection should be on things above. And let me tell you something. God doesn't mind you enjoying those things in the right order and in the right priority. Brother, it's often better than the saints get caught up in the things of this life. The dead things of this life. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Praise God. Now look at verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And to mortify means to destroy, put to death. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. You see, brethren, look here. When you read Colossians and when you read over in Galatians, you'll find something. You'll find, see, Paul talked about you used to walk in that stuff when you lived in that stuff. The Bible says in Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You see, brethren, there's a difference between living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. You live in the Spirit because you're saved. You walk in the Spirit because you're saved. But listen, somebody living in the Spirit may not be walking in the Spirit. What it is relationship and fellowship. It really is. Paul, as ye receive Christ Jesus the Lord, that's salvation. So walk ye in Him. That's fellowship with Him then. All right? You used to live in those things. And you walked in them. Brother, look here. You know how I used to do the things I did? See, brother, look here. I was aware of sin in my life, but I got saved when I realized that this old boy was a sinner. When I realized not just a sin in my life, but Jonathan Doss was a sinner. I just walked in sin. I lived in it. I was a sinner. All right? Now, brother, we used to, Paul says, look here, you walked in that stuff when you lived in it. But now, man, mortify that stuff. See, but look here. Those things he's telling a believer to mortify are things a believer can do. Shouldn't do, but can do. He's to mortify those things. So verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Just put off that stuff, man. Put off all that stuff. Put that, mortify those things. Put that off. Brother, again, God doesn't tell you to do something that you can't do with His power and His grace and His Word and His Spirit. God is not going to tell you to do something that you can't do. God's not going to command something of you that you can't do. If a person says, I can't do this, then you're lost. A more truthful thing is, I'm not fighting hard enough and I don't really want to bad enough. Be honest. Be honest and you can get somewhere. It's like a lady one time come to the preacher and said, Preacher, I have a habit with stretching the truth. He said, sis, call it lying and you might get somewhere. To call it lying and you might get somewhere. It's good. But look here, don't duck and dodge with it. No, this, that's the way things are going today. You put a fancy name on sin and you doctor it up and you make and it just kind of takes the edge off and it's just not quite so bad. You know. But what if people use the Bible terms for it and it's just like it's between the eyes. Makes sin appear like it ought to be so destructive. Brother, don't you hate sin, man? When you look, don't you hate what it's done? Don't you long someday to get out of this life and this body and have that new body that'll serve the Lord like it's supposed to? Don't you just hate sin and what it does? The ruin that it brings. Ah, brethren. If it wasn't for the grace of God, brethren, where would you and I be? You and I need to thank God continually for grace. If it wasn't for God's grace, brethren, it just absolutely blows my mind how gracious He is to us and good He is to us. It just absolutely blows my mind. I mean, brethren, we are... He's patient, He's long-suffering with us. He's uncompromising, for sure, but He's patient. He's long-suffering, and He deals with us in a right and a good way, and firmly, because He cares for us. In grace, brethren, oh my goodness. But y'all, hey, y'all, listen, we ought to... I tell you what you need to do. Y'all ask God to help you hate sin. So why didn't you ask God to help me hate sin? Because, brethren, so often you don't hate sin, what's done half ruined you. So often you don't usually get a holy hatred for sin or a certain sin until they about just half ruins you. So ask God to go ahead and teach you to help you to learn to hate it. Hate it real good. Hate it because God hates it. Hate it because of just... But sin kills. There's a sign, speed kills, this kills, man, see. Crack kills you. Sin kills, man. Sin kills. All right, look here. So you put those things off. But verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, isn't that something? Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now be honest with yourself. Ask yourself. Can I do or say what I'm getting ready to do or say to the glory of God? The Bible says, whatsoever you do, and word or deed. You do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. You need to ask yourself, can I do what I'm getting ready to do, or can I say what I'm getting ready to say in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can I give thanks to God and the Father by Him for it? Now there's one. Now there's one. Imagine. Imagine, man, get ready. Pull a big drag on a, in the name of the Lord. I mean, really, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or anything. I'm just being honest. Can you imagine? The Bible says, what you do, word in, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, brethren, I can eat me a meal and thank the Lord for it and do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God for it. But now, can a man pull a drag off that cigarette and say, thank you, Lord? Some Bibles too. But I mean, in all truth and honesty, can you, you do that and give thanks to God for it? Brethren, think about it. Think about a lot of things, what we say and do. Word and deed. Can you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and can you give thanks to God for it? If you can't, don't. Don't. I mean, brethren, look here. You know what? Look here. Brethren, oh Lord, help us. You know, brethren, when the Lord speaks to your heart and says, you know, don't do this. You shouldn't do that. You're being immoderate here. You're being intemperate here. You're being, you know, don't do this. You know, then just stop. Don't do it. Ask yourself, can I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus? And can I give thanks to God the Father by Him for this? What I'm going to say, what I'm getting ready to do. If it doesn't meet that criteria, well, man, then don't. Oh, but I'll say, hear what you say, and I go out here and I try to do that, and I mess up, and I don't. Okay? That's what He shed His blood for. Confess it. And go on and try again. You know what you do? Brother, too often, we are easy targets for the devil. We're easy targets. Because you know what? Brother, look here. Look here. I mean, what, you ever seen those folks? You know, maybe in life, I mean, in sports or anything, they're real fired up, they're really, until they see a little resistance. And then things kind of, they're all mouth, you know. Brethren, look here. And so often you'll find out that a lot of times the mouthiest ones are the ones you'll first see that. Look here, brethren. Okay, you get a good principle from the Word of God, you try to apply it, and you mess up, and you don't do right. All right, that's what He shed His blood for. Get it confessed, get it under His blood, get back up, go forward. There you go. Don't, brethren, listen, a principle is not preached so that you're going to go out of here and it's just going to be so easy and it'll just happen and Brother Dawes preached it and the Bible says it and I know it's of God and it'll just work. Are you kidding? If it's of God, devil's going to fight you tooth and nail for it, man. Anything that's right. Family devotion time, he'll fight you tooth and nail. Man, he will fight you tooth and nail to read your Bible with your family, sing with your family. Anything that's right, he's going to fight you with. Brother, we are all warriors. I've said it before. We are all warriors 5 minutes before bedtime. Tomorrow morning, look out! I'm serious, brother, because you read something, you determination, you know, and you're like, boy, tomorrow's a new day and it's going to be, and that fire goes somewhere. Before he went to bed, that guy at work tomorrow. Ha ha! I love you in the Lord, but I got your number, pal. What a witness you're going to get. Ooh, boy, you're going to get told. And you have a scenario to that in your mind. He's going to say this, and you're going to say that, and you're going to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, he's liable to get saved in 5 minutes, because you just got it all. And you get up. Ooh. Whoa. Whoa. Ooh. Maybe I'm out of the will of God here. Maybe today ain't the day for this. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of. I've said it before, and I really want. I wonder. I don't know, but I wonder. It wouldn't surprise me. I'm not saying this happens, but I wonder if the devil at nighttime don't say, "Rah, rah, just boom, boom, go get them all. That's right. You go. You do something for God tomorrow." I wonder if he don't cheer you on. Do something for God tomorrow, man. So the devil cheer you on. What danger are you as you slip under the covers, my dear friend? What danger are you to that lost man at work as you get ready to go, it's when you get up out of that bed. That's when he says, okay, warrior, huh? Mister going to take the world by storm, huh? Going to do something for God, huh? waste half a demon on you, maybe you'll say. I mean, you know what I'm saying, brother? I'm no serious. You know, brother, we've got, it can't be no fly-by-night stuff. It can't be no just worked up in emotion stuff. Cold, calculating war. Don't kid yourself at night. Don't kid yourself during the church service. Brother, look here. Hey, brother, honestly, brother, look here. Say, Brother Doss, don't you want to see people fired up? Well, whatever, man. I tell you what I'd rather see is you believe that book, what truth says, and say, God, I know it's true. I'm going to need some help now, Lord, and apply it. Help me tomorrow morning, Lord, to do right. And then, listen, when you falter and you fall, all I want you to do is get up. I just want you to get up and say, God, I'm sorry, and try again. And try again. And when you're, when you feel like your ear and just got kicked real good, just say, God, I'm sorry. I tell you what happened to me this week. This thing probably happened to y'all. But, you know, y'all better off than me. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. We was going down the road, taking the boys out, the wives, about 6 o'clock in the morning. And Sarah and Ellie didn't go that morning. We was going down the road, you know, it was 52. And there's a black man standing on the side of the road with his bag, thumbing, right? Well, it's hard to slow down. Really, it is. You know, 50, when he's right there. If you don't buy him everything, it's like, you know, wow, what do I... You know, and you're debating with yourself. You're wondering, like, you know, so, and you know, finally you get so far as like, well, I can't go back. You know, it's like, so I'm just kicked, right? I mean, I'm just kicked. I'm just, you know. So I go off, I get the wine, I run off the bathroom. You had to go to the bathroom with us? You had to pray. And I said, Lord. Public bathrooms and me get to know each other real good. And it's not always the use what they're designed for. A lot of times just to pray. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I said, Lord, please. Don't let that, I don't know how to put it. I may say, Lord, protect that black man. Oh, I hurt him. Or am I hurting him? Him hurting one, or am I hurting him? Lord, I said, Lord, get the gospel to him. I said, Lord, but I'm going to ask you a favor. I'd like to get another chance if I could. But Lord, get somebody. And I was really sincere with that thing. You know, not just trying to, you know what? Come next morning, there he is. you know, hey, but you know what? Did you know almost is a part of you, man. Well, I mean, you know, but you got to nip it. No! I was like, God, I asked you. You did it. So I went around that and I turned around. And he was in a bad spot, man. So I had to go down a little side road and I said, you need a ride? Yeah, man, I need a ride. So I said, well, I take you. You know, I was on one out here in Munson's Corner. He said, well, lo and behold, he was only going like within half a mile where I was already going anyway. He's going to dialysis every morning. And he's got it pretty bad. And you know what? It was kind of good. Now, he said he was saved. I gave him a track anyway, but I'll tell you something. He opened the door up to talk about the Lord. And now the guy told him something about it. He goes, says something about the Lord Jesus. He goes, who do you think made you stop? I said, maybe you're closer contact than I am, bud. I tell you what. I looked at him, I said, you're right. I said, I know who made me stop. I said, I reckon you know too, huh? He goes, well, I said, you better believe it. He said, I know who made you stop. I said, you're right. You are right. You know, we had a good little talk there. Just the aim of the car, you know, just the minute in the car, and gave him a track. But listen, brother, here's what I'm telling you. Brother, I felt real bad when I passed him up. I asked the Lord to forgive me. Felt like I blew an opportunity. Now, brethren, used to, oh Lord help me. I'm trying to learn something. Used to, that kind of thing would about destroyed me for the day. Or part of the day. I'd still be kicking myself. You know, you rotten, sorry thing, you don't count, you know, and I am no count, I am rotten, sorry. You know, but I've learned, Lord, I'm sorry. And Lord, just mercy if you would, please, and help that man, and you pick up and you go on. You pick up and you go on. Get up, dear friend. Get up. Brethren, it's one thing to get knocked down. It's another thing to stay there. Get up. Get up. At least be that guy. Be that kind of guy that may be outclassed, but his opponent just never knows he's licked and won't stop. And the guy just finally says, just gives up. Yeah, I'll give you two examples of that. There was a battle one time that took place. And by all rights, one side should have won. In fact, the day was theirs, but the other side didn't. The general who lost said, the day was mine. But the other side didn't know it. So the day was mine, the other side didn't know. Dwight D. Eisenhower in his hometown, when he was coming up, there was like, on either side of the tracks, there was like a battle royal that would take place between two guys. They weren't mad at each other. It was like, who was the defending champ, right? Like a boxing match, this and the other. Dwight Eisenhower was a little bit younger, I think, at that time anyway, but they appointed him. I don't know how many hours that thing went on. And finally, nobody really won, but the other guy said, Dwight, I can't lick you. And they just stopped and just kind of... Brother, I want to tell you something. The Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. Kept the faith. So I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. You don't see Paul saying, the roundhouse I gave the devil. Oh, I remember back in Ephesus, boy, I gave him a shot. No, none of that stuff. Christ got the victory for Paul. He had no of that to speak of, but he did say, I fought a good fight. Fight a good fight, brother. Every day is a new battle. Fight a good fight. And listen, get up and go. You say, well, I fell. Get up. Get up. Well, I fell again. Get up. And go on. And go on. And you can. You can. Brethren, look here. Where's the way of life? Above. If you're lost, the way of life's above. It ain't on this earth. To depart from hell beneath. And I mean depart from hell because you're good as air if you're not saved. If you're saved, the way of life's still above. Set your affection on things on high. On things above, not on things on this earth. Things that edify you and draw you closer to the Lord. Things that edify you and draw you closer to God in truth. In truth. Be honest with yourself, brother. Do me one favor. Don't kid yourself. I had a lady one time, she told me, she said, well, drinking a beer and listening to Pink Floyd helps me feel close to God. I thought, you are. I'm not kidding you. She wasn't joking. This lady messed up. She's messed up. She didn't say it'd be fun. She said, seriously. I mean, brother, sometimes what you have to contend with. You know? Hey, brother, I believe it probably did make her feel closer to something. Not God. Not God. That's the reason I said, make sure that you're around things that are drawing you closer to God in truth. That's the reason I said, in truth. In truth. Can you do it in the name of Jesus? Can you say it in the name of Jesus? Can you give God thanks for what you're getting ready to say? Can you give God thanks for getting what you're getting ready to do? Let it be a litmus test that you prove things by. Father, thank you for this tonight. Help us, Lord, to lay it to heart. Help us, Lord, to learn from it. Help us, Lord, to know it. But above all, Father, help us to do it. And this we ask, Father, in Christ Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.